Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The stats, the salt, the sanity. And every so often, they talk about sports too. Here is Eric Dorsch, Russ Ivanek, and Justin Marcus. This is Armchair Sports Talk.
It's a mystery, I suppose.
All right, welcome into another episode of Armchair Sports Talk. Unfortunately, going to be a quick one this week. Schedules just didn't line up. Russ is still on the West Coast traveling around, enjoying himself. Justin and I, we just couldn't get the schedules to lock up. But we have a little special treat for you. We all took a little segment this week and decided to do a little deep dive on it. You're going to get a little hockey from Justin. You're going to get a little COVID talk and what it's doing to the leagues right now from the stat man, Russ Ivanek. And me, I decided to weigh in on our Detroit Lions and talk a little Urban Meyer being let go from his first year with the Jacksonville Jaguars. So we're going to cover all that and more. First up, we have Sergeant Salty with the Detroit Red Wings.
Hey, it's Justin from Armchair Sports Talk and doing a quick update on some Red Wings news that took place this week. Robbie Fabbri getting a contract extension. Now, to the average fan hearing that, you probably think, oh, good, well, someone has to score goals. But it's actually nicer than you think. There's this lovely idea of not giving players long term. And Robbie's 25 right now, and this will end at 28. Lovely idea. Not extending anyone past the age of 30. Thanks, Ken Holland. You screwed that up. But coming back to Steve Yzerman and this great deal, Fabry's been in the league since 2015, and he's only played for two teams, St. Louis and us. And he's never actually got to play a full season before. So I'm hoping to see that out of him. He's capable of doing 20 goals and 20 assists and getting to that 40-point total, which is what we need in terms of depth on this team. Now, he's never done it before. He's got it into the 30-point range. But again, you got to remember, he hasn't played a full season yet in his career, whether it was with St. Louis or us, or a COVID pandemic or injuries, he's never played 82. So getting him to 82 games, I can see him being a 20 and 20 type of guy. Another good thing to see out of Fabbri is ever since leaving St. Louis, his average time on ice has gone up every single year he's been with us. So he was on a team that had a lot of forwards on the team that he wasn't getting that ice time, not getting a full season, not getting to a 40-point season. Well, now he's on a team that needs players on the ice. He's going to get more ice time, and he's going to get more points as long as he stays healthy. So Fabbri, getting three more years, let's stay healthy, let's see 82 games, and let's see a 40-point season out of, you know, a middle six forward on this team. So I absolutely love it. I think he's got a higher floor than people are expecting. And again, not playing 82, well, congratulations. You're not going to get big numbers, and you're not going to see a big contract. So Steve Yzerman, I see what you're doing. You're giving this man some ice time. Stay healthy and fill up the net. That's me with Armchair Sports Talk on a Red Wings update.
Yeah, the extension of Fabbri is so great. He's a young, talented player. Like Jay said, he's been in the league for about 6 years. We've yet to see a full season out of him. Doesn't look like we're going to get that this year, what with COVID and injuries. But the fact that we've got him in an affordable deal, we're not, you know, extending him through a career deal, gives us a chance to, you know, make moves and still be competitive in the free agent market, but at the same time, hold on to talent at an affordable rate so that the rest of these guys don't get priced out because of it. So it's great to see, and I'm excited to watch Fabbri grow in this system and see how he can be a key contributor to this team, hopefully being able to make a run in the playoffs, if not this year, in the next couple of years to come. Mentioned COVID and injuries and all that. For that, we're going to talk to the stat man, Russ Ivanek, as he kind of breaks down what's going on in the leagues and what we can expect to see over the next couple weeks.
Hey, everybody. Russ Ivanek, Armchair Sports Talk. Good to talk to you again. Hope you remember my voice. I've been out for a little bit on vacation here, but making a small return to give you an update on the COVID effects on our different sports leagues here. Kind of draw the short straw here. That's what I get for going to Hawaii. but I'm back and I'm glad to be talking to you at least about something here. So you may have noticed we're in a bit of a trouble here. NHL, NBA, NFL, all getting hit pretty hard. NFL has already postponed 3 games. Hey, you get games on a Tuesday, so I guess there's that. The NBA, obviously, we got a lot of teams getting hit hard by this. The Nets just put Kevin Durant in the protocol. That gives them 8 players, more than half of their active roster. The Bulls went through something similar. We're barely able to scrape together a roster to play for a little bit there. Oh, and the NHL has put about 10% of their players in COVID protocol in the last 2 weeks. That's a bit concerning. Calgary, Colorado, Florida are postponed until at least Christmas, as it were. I guess that's one way to pause your league without actually saying you're pausing it. Just take out select teams. It's not going to be the end of it. However, California, Texas, Florida, New York, those states have the highest caseload in the U.S. right now with over 2.5 million cases each. Oh, that's right. Multiple teams exist for each league in each of those states. You've already seen Florida, like I mentioned, already be part of that being pulled out. It's only a matter of time before there's more. In the words of the Calgary Flames head physician, Dr. Ian Auld, I've never seen transmission on this level, which is obviously concerning because we've been doing, quote unquote, on this level for about 2 years now. But Omicron's here. It seems to be passing around to the players in his words, an unprecedented level. And we're seeing it here, too. The Red Wings just put Smith, Rowney, Nedeljkovic, and coaches Blashill and Tanguay in the protocol this morning. We have quite a bit of impact here, even in Detroit, as caseloads continue to rise. So what does it mean for us? Well, it means you're going to see a few less games right now. But we did make it till March last year before the NBA and the NHL shut down and eventually moved into a bubble to go through. Something similar could be coming. The league seemed to be very reluctant to do that with the revenue that was lost. Hey, the NHL's still on a flat cap just to try and recover a little bit there. Montreal already started to play without fans. So it is coming at some point here. You're either going to do a pause for Christmas, like we've already seen with select teams, or you're going to move to a bubble. Likely both, if you want to actually do your full seasons here. And if you're an NHL fan, you can probably already say goodbye to seeing the NHL players in the Olympics. We were already looking at a 3 to 5 week quarantine period for any player that tested positive during the Olympics. They would have had to stay in Beijing and basically tank their chances of coming back to finish the NHL season there with at least a month quarantine plus travel there. So how do you make up these games? Well, we got teams that can't play for 2 weeks. We just happen to have a several-week Olympic break. But do the math here. You can see where the NHL is likely going to pull out to be able to recover their schedule, complete their season. And as we see, the NHL will always put their own league's needs before growing the game on an international level. We've seen it. That's why we didn't have NHL players in the last Olympics. So, yeah, we've got a lot of new stuff going on. We will keep you updated as much as we can. If there's any silver lining in this, well, at least the Lions got a win before COVID's going to shut down all the leagues again. So I guess there's that.
All right, we've heard what Sergeant Salty and the Statman had to say, so I guess I'll round it out for you here on this week's quick episode of Armchair Sports Talk. Going to talk a little Lions football and a big fire in the NFL right now. I don't know how big it was, but it was made all the headlines, so we got to talk about it a little bit. First and foremost, Lions fall 38-10 to the Denver Broncos. No shock here. Look, this is a Denver Broncos team that's really not that good either. They're having a little bit of a mixed year. They don't really know some pieces where how ready they are to keep them. So we'll see what happens there. But look, half the Lions roster was out. There was nothing they were going to be able to do on this one. A 1-11 team has a hard enough time with a fully healthy roster, let alone when you cut half their players out of it. Take you over some stats real quick. Jared Goff finishes 24-39, 215, 1-1. Teddy Bridgewater on the other side, 18-25 for 179 and 2 touchdowns. Lions had a real hard time getting the rushing going. Craig Reynolds was our leading rusher, 11 carries for 83 yards. Look, he averaged 7.5 yards a carry. You can't ask much more of a running back. In this one, it was very tough for them. Melvin Gordon, 24 carries for 111 yards and 2 touchdowns. St. Brown, leading receiver for us this past week, 8 catches for 73 yards, nothing and nothing. He had a rough day. Noah Fant led the Denver Broncos, 4 catches for 51 yards. This is a team that we're struggling all the way to the end here, people. I wouldn't expect high expectations, and I don't expect it to get a lot easier. Lions face off with the Arizona Cardinals this week. Arizona is an 80% favorite. The spread is Arizona giving 13, over under 47.5. Arizona, you know, they have Chase Edmonds is out on the injured reserve. Zach Ertz questionable to play. James Conner questionable to play. So they got some big people that are not available. But on our side, we had TJ Hockenson, hand surgery. He's done for the year. Julian Okora, Anzalone, Jalen Reeves, Maven. These are guys that we rely on week in, week out. Questionable or out or injured reserve, obviously. So look, this isn't going to be an easy one for the Lions. And it's, in all honesty, not going to be a win for the Lions. They're too depleted, and they just have too many question marks on this team for it to be much more than anything else. And at this point, it's 1-11. 1-11-1, excuse me. You win out, you're still not making the playoffs. Go for that number one spot. Lose out. Let's get the number one, and let's start the build back. You have a whole nother offseason to get everybody on the same page. So it's a rough one, but it's a loss. Lions fall, by my math, probably pretty close to that spread. I would say another 37-38 to, like, 14 game. It's not going to be close, and it's going to be another rough one to watch. Tell you what, be an Arizona Cardinals fan this week. You're going to see some great play out of them. Carrying on, like I said, big fire in the NFL. Jacksonville Jaguars head coach Urban Myers fired after 13 weeks. Just give you a couple cliff notes real quick on him and his very, very short tenure in Jacksonville. Myers hired on January 14th of 2021 to become the new head coach. Just a couple months later, July 1st, fined by the NFL for $100,000 for violating the practice rules during organized team activities. You know what? It's not the same in college as it is in the NFL. He had to adjust to that, and he wasn't able to do that. Early October, a video appeared of Myers touching the bottom of a woman who was not his wife at a Columbus-area restaurant. Myers apologized to the team, apologized to everybody concerned, but you know what? When you're having the year you're having, you can't afford those kind of things to come out because it just shows distraction. Jaguars got their first win on October 17th against the Miami Dolphins, 23-20. They just had a real rough go of it for the rest of the year. Towards the end of 2021, Jaguars players and coaches were critical of Myers' treatment of them. A lot of stories have come out that he was not the right guy. Main one being kicker Josh Lambeau publicly accused him of kicking him in the shin and telling him to make his bleeping field goals, to which Meyer didn't really respond well to that. His 13-game tenure is tied with Lou Holtz and Bobby Petrino for the fourth shortest coaching tenure in NFL history. Just not great. He has a 1.54 or a 0.154. Russell, hate me if I get that math wrong. 0.154 winning percentage is the worst of a non-interim head coach. Some details were never really finalized on this, but it's speculated that Myers signed a 5-year deal worth anywhere between $10 to $12 million, which would have put him in the category right around where Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, and Sean Payton all sit as one of the highest paid coaches in the NFL. Look, he had a phenomenal career in college. This is where he belongs. This is college. He's a college football coach. 186-32 record in 17 years. That's a 85% win percentage. He's won national championships. Florida. He's a very successful coach. His run in the NFL fell short of expectations, being fired after 13 games, as I said, with a 2-11 record. Honestly, I think after the speculation and after everything we've seen, I don't know that he ever gets a coaching job again. He could get one in college. He has enough of a successful track record that there are schools willing to overlook that he's a little bit of a not so nice guy. If you've listened to anyone in the media outlets lately, he gets caught with a lot of harsh words because he is just not that kind of guy. You can do that in college because these guys are there to play for you. In the NFL, we saw this with Harbaugh. It's a lot harder to boss around a quarterback when that said quarterback is making three times as much as you are to be there. It's not that same dynamic. And for some people, it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit for Urban Meyer. I see him getting an analyst job again. He was very successful at that. To be honest, I don't know why he ever left the analyst job. I think the sideline just called to him and he had to give it a shot. It didn't work out. And it was never going to work out. Jacksonville was not ready to win right now. Urban Meyer was not ready to sit and lose. So it was a bad situation that was compounded by him making some very weird mistakes at some very bad times. So we'll see what comes of it. Former Lions offensive coordinator Darrell Bevell is the interim head coach for the year. We'll see if he continues on and takes that job over the long term or if they go in another direction. All it means for us here in Detroit, Dan Campbell was not the first new head coach to get the axe. Hopefully that doesn't come anytime soon. Hopefully the Lions can get it turned around. I wouldn't expect it this week. It's a tough matchup against Arizona, but we're going to cover it all that and more after the first of the year. Next week, going to be another shorty. We're going to do our usual All I Want for Christmas Is, and we're going to have some fun with it. So hope you tune in for that. As always, I'm your host, Eric Dorsch. That's One Small Step for Us, One Giant Leap back in Detroit.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.